Welcome back to Your Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff of Discovery on the second mission to Planet Earth research flight.
That is the sound of the first Latina lifting off into space. Ellen Ochoa was 34 years old when she served her first space mission aboard the shuttle Discovery in 1993.
I must say, it's a little bit hard to keep my concentration because I'm looking out the aft windows at some great views of South America right now.
Dr. Ochoa went on 3 more missions and even played her flute in space. Here she is talking to NPR host Michelle Martin in 2011, 2 years before becoming the first Hispanic and second female director of the Johnson Space Center in Houston.
My father's family is from Mexico, and it wasn't something I was thinking about, you know, being a first or anything when I applied. To me, it was just an exciting, wonderful career, a way to participate in exploration and discovery. But certainly, shortly after I was selected, I realized that there was a whole dimension to that that I hadn't thought about, and that was the opportunity to talk about exploration and science and engineering and education to a whole group. And there were so many Hispanic Americans who were excited about that. I started receiving letters immediately, and over the last 20 years, have received thousands and thousands of letters, lots from school children, about their interest in space after having read about me.
Jose Hernandez grew up working in the fields alongside his migrant farm worker parents. Then in 1972, he saw something that would change his life forever. Here's Hernandez on NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday in 2011.
I remember we used to have an old black and white console TV. And I would go outside, look at the moon, come back in, watch Gene Cernan walking on the moon, go back out, and I was just amazed that we had humans up on the moon 250,000 miles away.
A story of dedication, Hernandez applied to be an astronaut 12 times before finally getting chosen in 2009.
You go up and you taste it once and you want to go back. Day after I got back, I wanted to go back. I mean, it's almost addicting.
But he didn't get to go back. That same year, President Obama delivered a budget to Congress calling for the end of the shuttle program, and Hernandez decided to leave NASA.
When you train for a shuttle launch, 95% of the training is here at Johnson Space Center. So you come home every day. On the contrary, the International Space Station, it's more like a 2.5-year training flow. So I started doing the math, and I said, you know, I really want to enjoy my kids as they grow up.
And even though the shuttle program is suspended, astronauts continue to inspire us.
I'm Ellen Ochoa. I am a mission specialist and a flight engineer.
It's not just the astronauts who have paved the way for people of color. On the ground, Latinos have built equipment, they've programmed computers, and they've created the software to make sure that those shuttles actually take off. Candy Torres is one of those pioneers. Candy, welcome to Latino USA.
Well, I'm so excited to be here.
So you have this great nickname for yourself. You call yourself a...
Techno-Rican. I mean, technology Puerto Rican or technology rich.
Candy, you talk a lot about a particular television show that you watched, no surprise, Star Trek. So how did Star Trek connect to you as a young Puerto Rican who dreamed of going into outer space?
Well, seeing people from different backgrounds, not even counting the aliens, but seeing all these different people working together. I mean, this is during the 60s, and I was very much aware of not just my own family, but what was going on in the civil rights era and all that. So it was stunning to me to see this diversity out there and exploring and really working towards a better future, that this is what we need to work towards.
And it really connected with you that Star Trek would actually be multicultural. It wasn't something that was just glossed over for you.
No. I was very much aware of everything sociologically. I actually have a degree called Studies of the Future. I have a master's degree.
Okay, Candy, hold on a second. So you have a master's in the studies of the future, and you're an astrophysicist, and you also are a competitive fencer? I mean, what don't you do?
I'm also an artist. Museum of Fine Arts owns one of my murals.
Okay.
I want it to be Renaissance. Let me put it this way. Leonardo da Vinci was a very inspiring figure to me. When I was a child, I loved maps. And not seeing other role models, I did notice Torres Strait between Australia and New Guinea. And although I didn't expect that I was related to that person, I felt there's an explorer, there's someone with my name, had done something important, had explored. That was how I tried to find little things like that to connect with the culture.
Oh, I love this. When you were in Houston, you actually lived through what I can't imagine as an astrophysicist. When something like the Challenger explodes, what was that like for you?
I was there with a group of other people from JSC, and we were watching it. We'd watched many other launches, and we were stunned because we knew something was wrong because we'd seen so many, and we knew the technology. And it was, we're part of family. The whole thing was, I did not have to stay there that day. I mean, I had nothing else to do, but I stayed on site the entire day. I went from the building where I was watching over to the building where my office was, which is where the flight controllers and the astronauts were. And I stayed there watching the news all day because that was family. It was, I couldn't be anyplace else.
What is JSC?
Johnson Space Center. And that's where the astronauts come to train. And that's where we control International Space Station. And before that, the space shuttle program. So we're the human aspect of exploration.
Are there a lot of other Puerto Ricans who are working in space and inside NASA? I mean, do you talk to each other?
Well, I did meet Joe Acaba when he first became an astronaut in 2004. I talked to him a couple of times because I wanted to be the first Puerto Rican astronaut. Of course, I was too short and too nearsighted to get very far. And I was also at JSC when Ellen Ochoa became astronaut. I was in the auditorium when she first came out. And I was just sitting there going, I wish it was me. I wish it was me.
We talk a lot about Latinas in STEM, particularly on Latino USA. And this notion that if you're Latino or Latina, it might actually be an asset for you in the fields of science, technology, engineering, or math. Do you feel that's true?
I think when you're studying, when you're first starting out, you really have to know what you want. And it's not necessarily other people that are going to keep you from doing what you want to do. It's yourself. And that's what I always focused on. What do I want and how am I going to get it? Because I didn't have role models. And that's the important thing, that we need role models, because it really, you need to feel connected. Now there are these opportunities, and I've been contacted by different people, for being a role model, which is what I wanted to do starting as a child. It was, I want to do all this for myself because it's exciting. And then I want to give back to the community because I don't want other people to struggle, both as my parents had and as I had to find my own way, that you can do it. And it's exciting. It's fun. It's being understanding the universe, being connected to the universe and being connected with other people and making the world a better place. I mean, you really do. It's just wonderful.
Candy, thank you so much for all the work that you do and for being the first Techno-Rican.
Thank you so much, Maria.
Candy Torres is an astrophysicist who's worked on projects for NASA, including the Space Shuttle and the International Space Station. Thanks again, Candy.
Muchas gracias.